My peoples, welcome to Rants and Randomness. I'm Lovie Ajayi, your side-eye sorceress, and I'm here at the Chicago Recording Company bringing y'all the radio voice. On this episode, I'm doing a deep dive on how to travel often, how to travel well, my essentials. I'll be talking about the way I pre-plan packing, 11 things I must have with me on my flights, and some key things you need for international travel. So let's jump into it. So if you follow me on social media, you know that I travel a lot for work, for play. I'm on a flight sometimes multiple times a week. And I'll often post pictures of myself as I travel. And I always get questions about basically my travel essentials. So I'm dedicating this episode to talking about it. This is long overdue. For me this year, let's see, I have traveled over 78,000 miles. I've been on 28 trips, 20 cities, 7 countries. It's a lot. So here's the thing is travel can be fun. But when you do it a lot, it can be taxing on the body and the mind. And that's why it's important to travel well with as many things to minimize your inconvenience and optimize the circumstance, right? So if you are on the road, you want to make sure that your life is not as difficult as it could be. As you travel more and more, certain things need to be routine. Certain things need to come with you because you want to make sure that there's fewer things that could go wrong, fewer things that make you uncomfortable. So, yeah. So I want to share a few tips that can help you do better when you're traveling. I like to think about it like travel is kind of like a project. So, you know, pre-production, production, post-production, which in this case means before you go, while you're on the go, and possibly even after you come back from your trip. And I'll get into details about that. So the first thing about travel that is important in terms of when you want to do it is booking. So you can book directly from airlines, or you can go on websites like Expedia, Orbit, Kayak to find the tickets. Now, this matters because if you book directly from a website, it's from the website of the airline that you're going to use, it is best because of the fact that they can make changes easier. It doesn't often come with extra fees, and it's just better to book direct. There's nothing wrong with booking on Expedia or Orbitz, but if you ever have to make a change to your ticket, you can't go through the airline most of the time. They'll send you right back to that third-party website. So when you want to book, I recommend booking directly from the airline. What you can do is search these websites to price comparison, and then you go to the website to book itself. So, you know, Delta, American Airlines, United, all of those. The one thing that I recommend that you don't do, and if y'all know me, if you've been reading my blog for a long time, you will know that I am anti-Spirit Airlines. It is the bane of travel existence. I traveled with them probably 10 years ago, and y'all, they charge you for everything. They will charge you for water. They charge you for printing your boarding pass, and there's no way you can use an electronic boarding pass. They charge you for carry-on. So whatever you think you're saving on the front end, let's say your ticket is $200, you might end up spending at the end of it all $500 because between the fees for, again, carry-on are like $50. To print your boarding pass is like a $10 each way. So that is my one recommendation. I call them Break Your Spirit Airlines. If you read my blog, there's like 3 or 4 posts about Spirit, and I just want to save you that headache. So in order to travel well, some people love it, and I'm like, I don't understand. But my first tip would be, don't fly Spirit. Anyway, the next thing about travel that is important is how to pack for travel. That piece is important. When you're packing your carry-on, you'll want to focus on creating a seamless airport experience because I don't like trouble when I'm traveling, and I like to carry on most of the time because I don't want to deal with checking in luggage, not because I have to pay for it, but because I'm always afraid that if I check in my luggage, it will be lost and it'll have something in there that I have to use that day. So packing is key. I've become an expert packer. Unless I'm leaving the country for over a week, I'm using a carry-on. And I've actually done a 8-day international trip on my carry-on before because I'm so hell-bent on that. But I will give you this tip. if you do have to check in your luggage, no matter where you are going, make sure that in your carry-on, in the backpack that you carry or whatever wheelie luggage that you're going to take with you on the plane, you pack one full outfit in there. So let's say you are traveling today because tonight you have an event and you're carrying, you're checking in luggage. Okay. I will highly recommend that the outfit that you're going to be wearing tonight, you carry it on. You put that in your backpack. You carry an extra tote, something. Because it's happened to me once where I actually was traveling to Nigeria and I did not have any extra clothes in my suitcase. Well, fun fact, my suitcase did not make it at the same time I did. And they were like, well, it's on the next flight, which comes in tomorrow. And you know what happens when you have to do that? You have to now go shopping for underwear, for clothes, for t-shirts in a country that you just landed in. So if you have to check in your luggage, make sure that you have one full outfit with you. So I average over 100 flights a year and have for the last four or five years. And there came a point when I realized, wait, I'm just kind of flying by the seat of my pants. And I realized standardizing all these things was key. Also, learning lessons like having my luggage not show up on time basically taught me I got to do better at this thing. So, okay, packing. Let's talk about packing. The first thing that I do is I create a packing list. A packing list is essential because it ensures that the actual putting clothes and stuff into a suitcase goes well. If you do this, packing itself is really easy. It's a breeze. The packing list makes packing for me go by so quick. I can pack a luggage in less than 30 minutes once I have my packing list. So I create a packing list using Microsoft Word. There's some apps that exist that are packing list apps. You can make it really simple. So I just fire up Microsoft Word. In there, I list every day that I'll be gone, and next to each day, I put exactly what I'm going to wear. So if it is a day where I have to change twice, I put those two outfits in there. This will make sure that you bring enough shirts, shorts, pants, and dresses for your next trip. How you can end up landing in your hotel and realizing I only brought three shirts and 15 pair of pants is because you don't have a packing list that you go off of. And also the packing list ends up kind of being your packing Bible because even though you can switch the days up, so you can be like, well, what I was going to wear on Friday, I'm going to wear now on Saturday. That's fine. The whole point of it is when it's time to pack, now you're just checking off a list as opposed to standing and staring in front of your closet and being like, what am I going to take? That part is what makes packing take a long time. So that is number one for me is I create a packing list before this trip. In this packing list, I also include things like medications that I'll need, any electronics that I'll need, things like sunscreen. I'll include, if I'm going out of the country, my passport. I'll put that on my packing list to make sure, yes, it sounds too obvious, but the things that are obvious are the things you will leave behind and be like, shoot. There's been a time when I actually left, where I left my packing of underwear on my bed, okay, because I did not have my packing list to do a check through. So that's clutch. Now, let me put you on game. When I was recently going to Cannes for the Cannes Lion Festival, I actually got on Insta Stories and showed my packing process. And I brought people along, and I didn't realize that anything that I was doing was actually extraordinary because I thought everybody knew this stuff. So the one thing that people were like mind blown about when I was packing were packing cubes. I use packing cubes to pack my luggage. Now, let me tell you what packing cubes are. They usually come in sets of four different sizes, but they are basically cloth with zipper that you use to pack your stuff. So you know how you roll up you fold and you roll up your clothes into your luggage and they're stacked on top of each other? Well, a packing cube keeps itself contained. So I'll put most of my clothes, I can fit five pairs of pants and four shirts, for example, in one of my packing cubes. And what it does is, one, it keeps your clothes organized and separated from everything else in your luggage. And two, it saves space because the packing cube has a zipper. So it basically constrains your clothes into this small thing. Plus, if you were to open your suitcase in the airport, nothing's going to come flying out. If you open your suitcase when you land in your hotel, nothing's going to come flying out. It's just really a good organization tool. The ones I have, so usually the sets come in different sizes. The biggest one is for your clothes. There's a medium-sized one that is for maybe any other smaller clothes like tank tops and all of that. And then there's a smaller one for your underwear. So again, this comes in handy because if somebody opens your suitcase, you and your drawers will not be out here in these streets. So packing cubes are game-changing. You can get them anywhere where they sell stuff like Amazon, eBags, Nordstrom, anywhere where they sell luggage, there are packing cubes. It is a game changer for you to pack because it really does save space and it just makes your suitcase easy to deal with. So get a set of those. If y'all need any links, there'll be some in the show notes. I'll include some of the stuff that I use personally, including like the packing cubes that I have. Now, the other thing that's important about packing is the type of luggage that you have. And I'm a huge advocate for hardback luggage. Hardback luggage is the stuff that has a shell. It's not cloth-based. Why this is important is because your clothes will not be affected by anything going on outside that pieces of luggage. So, for example, let's say you do check in your luggage. If you have ever seen luggage handlers, they don't care about your stuff. They just be throwing stuff left and right, leaving luggage out. There have been times when it'll be raining outside and they're loading the luggage super slow on the flight. What happens? You get to your destination and you're like, why are all my clothes wet? Because they left it outside in the rain, they didn't care. Their job was to get it on the flight, which they did. Their job is not to do it in great condition. So the cool thing about hardback luggages is because they're plastic, and just reinforced material, you will not be affected by rain. If you're walking in the rain with your luggage, you won't be like, oh, my clothes are going to be getting wet. It's basically like leather for your stuff. So I use a hardback luggage, and I've been using them since probably 5 or 6 years. I don't buy cloth luggages anymore. A lot of websites will actually allow you to sort the luggage based on whether it's a hardback or whether it's cloth. So I highly recommend you get you some hardback luggage. Now, for travel, a lot of times we're not thinking about worst-case scenario. I tend to, so I want to always make sure I'm on the right side. You want to prep for the worst and hope for the best. So one thing you should consider getting is traveler's insurance, especially when you are going out of the country. Traveler's insurance does a few things. One, it protects you in case they do lose your luggage. Certain travelers insurance will actually reimburse you for lost luggage and the fact that you have to now go shopping for new clothes. And then also, this insurance protects you if you get hurt while you're out of town, while you are on this trip. You know, worst case scenario, I've seen people actually really get sick, and I've seen people get in major accidents when they're out of the country, and travelers insurance is going to be what allows them to get treated without them being worried about writing a big check. Travelers insurance is actually also, not to be morbid, but like if you die while you're out of the country, certain travelers insurance will make sure that your body gets back home to your parents, as opposed to them now having to go themselves to go claim you and then pay thousands of dollars to bring you back to what home is. So get travelers insurance. There's a bunch of them out there. Google and you'll find some reputable ones. Another thing to do while you're packing is take a photo of your packed suitcase and the inside, because if it gets lost, you have a clear way to account for what you have in there. And one thing I always recommend, do not put your major electronics like your laptop in your suitcase. Do not do it. And also do not put jewelry in your suitcase. Anything that is worth a lot of money or really valuable to you, do not put it in a checked suitcase, because if something happens to it, it's going to be really tough to recover. And on the point of jewelry, that piece is necessary because let's say you travel with really valuable jewels or diamonds and gold and just any types of gems. My jeweler gave me the tip of don't even put those in your carry-on. If you have jewelry that is really worth money, do not put it in a bag. Wear it on you, because if you put it in a bag, it's considered something that you might have to declare. If it is on your person, if it is in your ears, if the earrings are in your ears, the rings are on your fingers, they're considered personal property, and you won't have to deal with customs being like, what's that? If it's in your bag, though, it is considered something that you will have to claim. And there are times when if they think your jewelry is worth a certain amount of money, even if you have documentation that says it's not, if they think it is, they can hold it down. So wear it. Wear all your jewels on you. It might feel weird, right? But you still need to do it for your own sake. You don't want to have all these troubles. Okay, so another thing that is key, global entry and TSA pre-check. Man, listen, I remember back in the day before 9/11 when we could walk people to their gates at the airport. There was no security that was making sure, oh, you're checked in, you're actually somebody who's getting on a flight. It was one of those things where you literally showed up to somebody to the airport to send somebody off, and y'all all sat at the gate until they got on the plane. My grandmother, anytime she was going in and out to go to Nigeria, we would go as a family to the airport and just literally see her walk onto the plane. 9/11 changed all of that. Security became a thing. Airport security can be really annoying. And when you travel a lot, yes, one bit of annoyance can be okay. But when you're doing this multiple times a week, it adds up, which is where global entry and TSA pre-check come in. What it is the government does this deep dive on you, background check. You get interviewed, and then once they realize you're a low-risk traveler, you get TSA pre-check and global entry. So the difference between those two is TSA pre-check is for domestic. That means when you are at the airport, there's a separate line, and you go in. You don't have to take off your shoes like everybody else. You don't have to take your laptop out your bag like everybody else does. Only thing you have to take off is if you have on a heavy jacket and maybe a pair of shoes if they're going to ring because they have metal in them. Global entry is the international version of that, where when you're coming through, you get to bypass customs. All you have to do is go to a kiosk, put your name in and your flight details, and you get a receipt and you basically walk right past customs. This is a huge convenience because I've been at the airport many days when it is so packed. The regular line is so packed that I'm like, ooh, people going to miss their flights. But because I have TSA pre-check, I was able to breeze through in 10 minutes when everybody else was in line for 45. And then global entry is great because there have been times when I landed from out of the country. I landed at 1 o'clock, got off the flight by 1:05. I was at the curb catching my Uber by 1:15. Because there was just no line. Meanwhile, people are standing in line for like an hour because sometimes customs is slow. My recommendation for you is that you don't apply for TSA PreCheck. You apply for Global Entry. Why? Because they're both the same price, $100. But Global Entry gives you TSA PreCheck automatically. So if you apply for TSA PreCheck, ultimately, I feel like you're throwing your money away because you can just do Global Entry and get two in one. So do that. You go to like, I think it's like globalentry.gov. You apply, you know, as long as you ain't a threat to humanity, odds are they'll give it to you. Of course, you have to tell them about the firstborn child you haven't had yet. But hey, for me, it was worth it because I'm in the airport too often to have to be sitting here waiting in all these lines. So it's a must for frequent travelers. Please get it if you're listening to this and you don't have it and you're like, I've been thinking about it. Yo, get it. It's so worth it. And then my other key is loyalty to one airline is really important when you want to fly a lot. This is important because we're constantly thinking about just buying the cheapest ticket. Sometimes the cheapest ticket is only $10 difference from the next ticket. But we're like, well, I'm going to go with the cheapest ticket. Where this does not serve a lot of people is when you're not loyal to one airline and you don't have any status with one airline, that's when you get charged for a lot of things. You get charged for luggage that you want to carry on. You get charged for if you want to change anything about your flight. You get charged sometimes for being on standby. You don't get the perks that come with being loyal to being status. And being status means when you fly enough with one airline, you will end up, you know, being considered a member of their program, and usually those programs have different levels, and each level gives you varying perks. Things like, you know, access to lounges, extra miles, upgrade options. So I am loyal to American Airlines and have been probably for the last 3-4 years, and I am executive platinum with them. What that means is because I fly with them all the time, the day of my flights, if I want to change my flight, no fee. I can change it at will, no fee, as long as there's a seat on that flight that's still available. I automatically get added to upgrade list. So if I do buy an economy ticket, there's a really good chance I'm going to get upgraded to first class. I get lounge access. So when I'm traveling, especially out the country, because American is part of an airline group called One World. When I'm out of the country, I get free access to their lounges. So I recently, when I was traveling, I had a layover in London, and that's a massive airport. I had a 2-hour layover. By the time I got, two or 3-hour layover, I got through security and still had 2 hours left. So I got to go to the lounge, which is quiet. There's food, there's drinks, and it just doesn't feel like you're in the airport like with everything else. So you want to start becoming loyal to one airline, pick one. Of course, it's like Southwest, but the reason why I didn't go with Southwest is because Southwest doesn't have any international travel partners. So you get perks with the ones who are also international that are partnered with your airline. So there's Delta. United has one. They're part of the Star World group. Of course, American. So yeah, pick one. Try to go with them. Always consider, okay, yes, maybe their ticket is $30 more than the next ticket, but that's going to serve you because the next time that you want to be on standby, you might not have to pay the $75 fee. So keep that in mind. Now, let's talk about the in-flight experience. You've packed, you picked the right airline, you have your traveler's insurance, you got global entry and TSA pre-check, you got your hardback luggage, your packing cubes, all of that. You're good to go. What about the actual being on the flight piece? This is clutch. I have about 10 things that I recommend that you have for every flight, especially if it's going to be a long flight. But honestly, even short flights, I recommend you do these things too. So the first thing is a pashmina or travel wrap. I do not leave my house when I'm traveling without a scarf. One of those like really nice scarves. It doesn't have to be. It's just soft, okay? A nice soft scarf. This does two things. One, airplanes are cold. Oh my God, they're so cold. And apparently it's because in cold air, bacteria has less of a chance to grow or something like that. Or they just love punishing us. Either way, it's too cold in the airline. I get cold very quickly. So the pashmina does a couple of things. One, it allows me to layer. Two, I end up putting it over my head because it protects my hair and my skin. Their airplane air is also very dry. So as much as I can cover, I do. So I end up sitting on the flight with the pashmina over my head. And then if I'm cold in other places, I can use it, on my legs or on my body. So I always have some type of travel wrap. That's one. Two, an eye mask because you want to sleep. And they don't always turn down the lights quickly. So in case they don't, put on your eye mask, go to sleep. Also, sometimes there's always that douche across the way where even though they turned off the lights, they have the window wide open so the sun is beaming in. You want this eye mask for your whole situation because you don't want to be annoyed by them. So get one, get a really soft one so it's not going to irritate your eyes. And then sanitation wipes, because people are gross. People are trash. So you don't want to take the risk of touching people's trashness. Get sanitation wipes. Why am I calling them sanitation wipes? Sanitizer wipes. Oh, sorry. Sanitizer wipes. You want sanitizer wipes because people are gross. Don't take the risk. Wipe down your seat and your tray table and anything else around you, because that's how people get sick from traveling a lot, from coming in contact from people who aren't cleaning up behind themselves and people's just random germs. You also need a really good pair of noise-canceling headphones. I am a huge fan of the Bose Quiet Comfort 35 noise-canceling headphones. These things are actively noise-canceling. What does that mean? It means even if you're not playing anything, music, a podcast, nothing, the moment you turn on the headphones, put them on your head, it sucks sound out of the room. It sucks sound out of everything. So the plane, which is very loud, and you don't realize how loud it is until you put on some noise-canceling headphones because the engine is going, there's babies crying, people talking, and just ambient noise, it's really good because it will take most of that out of the place. So you kind of create a peaceful environment for yourself in a chaotic space. There's other ones that's Sony, but mine is the Bose Quiet Comfort 35. I do not leave my house without it. If I travel without the Bose ones, it is a different experience. I'll be all irritated because I'm like, why is everything so loud? So that's a good one. You want compression socks. Especially if you are traveling long distance, you want compression socks. I am officially, I wear compression socks years old, and I am not ashamed of it. So what compression socks do and why they're necessary is you put them on, and they're usually knee length because they ultimately help you with blood circulation in your legs. If you notice on planes, they tell people to walk around, you know, make sure your blood is circulating. That's important because if you don't do that, if you don't move around and have and make sure there's like some type of activity in your lower body because you're being so sedentary, you might get blood clots. And it actually happened with Serena Williams a few years ago. It's called deep vein thrombosis that is brought on by sitting on planes and being on there for a long time and not being active. So you're, you know, if you have blood clots, that clot can travel to your heart and really cause damage. People die because of it. So not to be morbid once again, but you want to make sure that you are doing your due diligence. If you're somebody who sleeps on flights all the time, like me, I sleep on most of my flights. I'm typically not the person walking around and doing exercises. I'll sit in my chair and, you know, I'll do some leg stretches. I'll roll my ankles around. I'll even bang my legs on the floor, just a few. But I also will wear compression socks because it is necessary. Flight attendants wear it. I even asked a flight attendant recently, I'm like, how important is it? She was like, we all wear it on every flight. So get you some nice compression socks, some good ones. They're not expensive. I got mine from Amazon. And yeah, any international flight that I'm on, I'm definitely wearing compression socks. Or even flights that are over 4 hours, I try to wear them. Another thing that I think you should have is a portable battery charger. One of the most inconvenient things is when you are traveling and your cell phone dies. Because now you got to go find an outlet in the airport. And I don't know why, but airports don't have a lot of outlets. So you're fighting with somebody else to get outlet space. Nobody has time for that. Also, how are you going to connect with the person supposed to pick you up? You cannot lose battery juice on these flights. And some of the flights, if you're in first class, you will have outlets next to you. The other ones are not guaranteed to have those outlets. Bring a battery charger that you can buy from anywhere. So whenever your phone dies, just plug it in to the portable charger that you can carry with you so you are not without communication. And then one of the most important things that I recommend for you to travel well is things for your skin, because skincare is real and I don't want us to be out here looking shriveled up. For me, it is really important to make sure that I'm not walking off flights feeling parched and dehydrated, and my skin feeling parched and dehydrated, because oftentimes I have to go from airport or flights to a speaking engagement or a shoot. So how I make sure that my skin does not get too dry, one, I have a lip balm with me at all times. Child, don't get off this plane with your lips being crusty, please. So have some type of lip balm. It could be a shea butter. I don't care, chapstick, whatever. Have that. The other thing you need is lotion, because the lotion that they have in the bathrooms are typically not good. And you need to wash your hands. Please make sure you're washing your hands. So you need lotion with you that's going to coat your hands and make sure you're not being ashy. We don't want ash. But then for your face itself, you want to keep your face really hydrated on these flights. So on planes, I use a hydrating serum first. So I'll spray my face down with one of those like rose water face mists. I use Mario Badescu's aloe water. I'll spray that down, and then I'll use a hydrating serum, and then on top of that, a face oil or a really heavy cream. This is not where you want to use a light cream. This airplane air is mad dry. So find a heavy cream and a face oil and seal that in. There are times on my flights where I also do a face mask. But yeah, that's clutch. So whenever I get off a plane, I don't want to look like I just got off a plane. And this is how my face ends up soaring, because I've made sure I've kept it really moisturized, really hydrated on these flights. Now, so those are my 10 essentials. I'm going to say that again. Compression socks, eye mask, scarf and travel wrap, Bose Quiet Comfort, headphones, sanitizer wipes, portable battery charger, lip balm, lotion, face oil, hydrating serum. That should be about 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's 11. Okay, 11 things that I'm loving. So Yeah. Then the optionals, that things that I don't travel with, that a lot of people like, travel pillow. I don't understand them, so I don't know. I don't use them, so that's a good one that people travel with. And, of course, travel with any of your medication that you need to carry with you. Dramamine if you get motion sickness. And, yeah. So, for international travel, things for you to keep in mind. International travel is different from domestic travel because you have to get to the airport earlier. You're going to a country that is not your native country. And there are other things that you have to add to the mix. One, your passport should have at least 6 months validity left, because if you land at certain countries, they will not let you in if your current passport is going to expire within the next 6 months. So you want to make sure that you've gotten your thing renewed and it's good to go and you have some passport pages left. Because if you are running out of passport pages and they can't stamp you in the country that you're going to be in, like they can't stamp you an entry, it's going to be a problem. So do that. You know, make sure you have your hotels booked. There are some people who love to travel by the seat of their pants and they'll be like, oh, I'm going to this country. I don't have anything planned yet. I'm not that girl. I want to make sure when I land in a place that is completely foreign to me, that at least something is going to be comfortable and good. So my hotels are big on that. You want to have a travel adapter because here's, you know, how we plug in our stuff in outlets. Well, outlets around other countries that are not in North America are different. So you will need to have a travel adapter to be able to use your current plugs. I buy travel adapters with surge protectors in it so I can plug in things. I can plug in that one adapter and then plug in the rest of my devices in it. You do not want to be in the airport, your phone running out of juice, looking for an expensive adapter. It's going to be really, really, it's going to be annoying. So I look for some on Amazon or wherever you want to look for electronics. Just type in international travel adapter. And then you want to have a luggage travel lock. So, you know, protect your goods, protect your neck. A TSA compliant one so they don't have to break it. Make sure it's one of those where they can just open it and close it right back. And then you'd also need a money belt and a fanny pack. So fanny packs are back in style now, which is cool. But before I used to travel with fanny packs that I would wear under my clothes with cash in it. So I still do it sometimes, but now I travel more with a card, with a travel card, which I'll talk about that. And then your vaccinations and your flu prescriptions. There are certain countries where, for example, you need a yellow fever vaccine. And to enter the country, they're going to ask for the card that that is necessary to show that you got this vaccine. So make sure you have that. And then you also check for travel warnings and advisories in your destination areas. Like, don't be afraid of the world, but be aware of what is happening and govern yourself accordingly. You know, you may recall my passport privilege episode, how I spoke about people tossing fear at you like stuff when you're traveling. Don't let people necessarily make you afraid of the place that you're going to, but do your due diligence. Also register your trip with the U.S. Department of State so they know that you, a U.S. citizen, are going to this country, because if anything happens, then they will know to come get you to get you out of the country. Another thing that you need for international travel, the Google Translate app. If you're going anywhere, listen, here's the thing. Us Americans tend to think everybody speaks English because we speak English. And we expect that we will land in some other country and, of course, everything's going to be in English. That's not true. You will land in certain countries and they don't care about English, and that's fine. You're visiting them. So bring the Google Translate app so you can know what's happening. You can take a picture of some signs and it'll let you know what is said. Some menus will be in their native language. It's okay. Once you have this Google Translate app, you should be good. And then also download the offline maps on Google Maps. So if you don't have internet, when you land anywhere, which is a good chance, you can at least get around. So wherever the Google map is of that country, of that city, download it in advance. That's another thing. So let's talk about credit cards. When you are going to another country, you should definitely bring a few hundred dollars in actual cash, because then you can instantly at the airport or at your hotel when you land make change and get the local currency. But I also like to travel with a card because I think a card is better. One, cards, especially when you're booking travel, cards, credit cards especially, will sometimes actually come with their own traveler's insurance that's going to protect you. That's one. Two, it's also going to come with protection for the fact that you bought your flight ticket or your hotel through this credit card. And then it also gives you rewards for booking travel, like extra reward points. I use a rewards card called Chase Sapphire Reserve, which means for every dollar that I spend for travel, it gives me 3 extra points. Also, if I use it in a different country, I don't get charged an extra fee for it. If you use your debit card in a different country, you might get charged a fee by your bank. So getting a good credit card that is travel friendly is also clutch for travel. It is just necessary because now I know that, okay, if I have this card, one, I can always trace what I bought. I'm protected from travel interruptions, and I might get reimbursed for certain things that happen in terms of the actual travel. And some of these cards will give you lounge access. So even if your airline does not give you lounge access because you're not statused, a good travel credit card would do the same. So my travel credit card gives me access to beyond just like my airline lounges. I think I have priority pass. So, yeah, these are the things that are necessary that I've learned over the years about travel that's made my travel life easier. I ultimately use travel like, yeah, it's a project for me. So this is my checklist. These are the things that I make sure are in place. Now, I want to give a shout out. I'm not a travel influencer. There are people who travel way more than me who are on these internets. You know that social media can help you get more information. Over the years, I learned some more information from following some of the people I'm about to give a shout out to. I recommend that you follow them on Instagram if you want inspiration or information or just always want to know more about how to see the world, how to travel well, and just being adventurous and dope. All of them are dope. The first person is Kelly Edwards. Her Instagram is Kelly Set Go, and that's KelleySetGo. Kelly Edwards has been recognized as one of the most powerful women in travel, according to Condé Nast. She's an award-winning travel expert, and she happens to be a journalist, a licensed pilot, advanced open water scuba diver, and a TV host on the Travel Channel. It's huge. She's a Black woman who now has a show. It's called Mysterious Islands on Travel Channel. So definitely check out Kelly. She's amazing. So that's Kelly Set Go. And then we have Jessica Nabongo, who is at the Catch Me If You Can. That's at TheCatchMeIfUcan. Jessica's dope. She's a first-generation American from Uganda who wants to use her platform to educate and inspire others to travel the world. As a creator of Jet Black, a luxury travel company, Jessica hosts group trips and curates itineraries to countries within Africa, Central and South America and the Caribbean. And she's also on a quest right now to visit every country in the world. I think she's on country like 175 right now. So follow her adventures. Her pictures are really off the chain also. And her Insta stories, she's really sharing as she lands in every country and what she's discovering, what she's eating. So y'all check her out. We got Gloria Tamo, who is Glow Graphics. That's GloGraphics. She's the founder of The Blog Abroad. Gloria is one of a few that figured out how to turn her traveling blogging passions into a paycheck. And as a full-time digital storyteller, she creates marketing campaigns and partnerships with companies such as GoPro and Skyscanner. She's dope, y'all. Follow Glow. She's amazing. Her Instagram is also lit. Also amazing photos. And then we have Onika Raymond. Onika Traveler is her handle, at Onika Traveler. That's OnikaTraveller. She's a school principal turned TV host and travel content creator. And she basically showed that when you're changing your careers in the 30s, it might intimidate most, but she made the leap. She broke into vlogging on YouTube. She's been to, I think she says she's lived in like over 20 countries. She's just really interesting in her travels. She's vulnerable about what she's, you know, what she sees and how she travels with her husband, all of that. So y'all follow Nika. Lila Tumbe, who has this gorgeous platform called At Spirited Pursuit. So it's at S-P-I-R-I-T-E-D-P-U-R-S-U-I-T. She's from Cameroon, and she quit her corporate American job to move back to Africa. And now she travels throughout the continent to feed her soul while also documenting and sharing its beauty and cultural experiences. I love following her page. Like, it's beautiful. She makes me be like, wait, where was that? Let me put that on my list. My homie, and who was a guest on Rants and Randomness a few episodes back, Jubril Ogoro. He's so dope. He's one of my favorite people. He has a platform called Passport Heavy, PASSPORTHAVY, at Passport Heavy. So, you know, he went from going from his mom's couch to first class in 1 year, and he breaks the idea that there's a right way to travel. But Jubril is kind of travel bougie, and I love it because he'll show you how you can explore a country on a certain dime, and then he'll show you just the beauty of a country. Honestly, Jubril is basically at this point an ambassador for certain countries he's been through because he creates these beautiful short films and documentaries to educate people on the countries and things that they might not know about. Jubril basically changed Colombia's tourism with one of his videos. He is ultimately a superstar in Colombia now because after he posted a Passport Heavy video about the country, people started booking and going, and now his work is honestly making people seek out the countries that they might not have. So Passport Heavy, y'all follow that. So he encourages travelers to find their groove. He's explored a lot of Asia. So I just love following his work and this incredibly excellent productions that he puts on. And then we have Claire Soares, who's Up in the Air Claire. That's UPINTHEAIR. CLAIR. She is the founder of the tour company Up in the Air Life and Urban Yacht Life. She learned the ins and outs of luxury travel, quit her full-time job as a high-power sales person, and now runs this full-time. They do these amazing group trips where it's like, okay, if you feel like you don't have people to travel with, well, you can actually go on an up-in-the-air life trip and you will find a new squad. I've been on a couple of her trips, and recently when I went to Mexico, she ended up coordinating the whole weekend for me and Yvonne, and we had such an amazing time. The white glove service. Claire's dope. Her company Up in the Air Life is dope, and they do full concierge service for people who are on the trips. It's actually really dope. So follow Claire, too, and see how people do it up. So, yeah, y'all, I hope this helps. I want you to, you know, dig in and research more of the things that I'm saying. And listen, travel is amazing because it literally expands our worlds. I go all over the world, and something about anywhere that I am, I will find something that reminds me of home. And I will find instances and experiences and have conversations that just show me that the world is very different. Everywhere is different, but everywhere at our core, we're still the same. Travel literally expands our world. Just, it changes how we see things. It changes how we see people. It makes us grow. So it's really important for us to travel, I think, because it takes us out of our own bubbles and broadens our perspective about the world. When we realize that all around the globe, no matter how many miles we are, our struggles are the same. The things that bring us joy are the same. No matter if we don't look alike or speak the same language, humor is still the great equalizer. So even though I travel a lot for work and sometimes I'll be like, oh, Lord, I just got to sit on my couch, I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to see the world and get paid for it and be able to, you know, go to places that are my wildest dreams. So I'm hoping that with these tips, you're encouraged to seek out and do more travel and do it in a way that will feel more convenient for you. So I hope this episode has been a good gift for you. Feel free to share with anybody who you know wants to travel or are avid travelers. If you have any other tips that you want to send me, please feel free. My email is loveyrants@gmail.com. I am appreciating y'all, and I'm looking forward to hearing how you use some of these tips to have better travel experiences. Follow me on social media. I'm at Lovey on all platforms. And follow Rants and Randomness on all platforms, too. So we're on Twitter at Rants Randomness. We are on Instagram at Rants and Randomness. And we're on Facebook. So look out for Rants and Randomness episodes and share this stuff and this content with people who you think would appreciate it. I'm excited to bring it to you. So I will see y'all on the next episode.